B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's the Over Under Podcast. Hello, I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. College football is pretty much over now. We'll get a 14 playoff. I think all agree they got it right.
Yes.
Cincinnati makes it. Boom. More exciting. And something on my bucket list, Dan, is Army Navy. Maybe someday I'll do it.
Not this year.
Not this year. And let's face it, Army's a damn good football team. Navy's always been on television. We've seen them for years, but Army's got one of the better defenses in the country. Obviously can run the football. They won last year 15-0 on a shutout. So a little something going on there. We got Niumatalolo, right? Is that his name? Niumatalolo?
Ken Niumatalolo, that's correct.
Yeah. The Navy's bad. They're so bad. The Army defense will smother them. Army second the nation in rushing. I didn't know that. Number seven in the country in rushing. I don't. It's Army Navy, so anything can happen. But dude, Navy's down, man. They're bad.
Yeah, I agree with that. Navy has been rough shakes in the past couple of years, man. They had three wins this season, a home win versus UCF, who was very up and down the season without their starting quarterback, Don Gabriel, who is now transferring. A extremely lucky road win at Tulsa, where Tulsa wide receivers dropped not one, not two, not three, but four wide open touchdowns in the end zone, and then a win at Temple this year in not so dramatic fashion. Now, they did get better as the year went on. They played ECU tough, lost to them by three, held Cincinnati within seven, SMU within seven. But just in general, this was not a very good team. They had their moments where they played well, but not a great team. I do think that they played better against the teams that like to pass the ball more. We throw it around a little bit against the running teams. I feel like they struggled just a tad bit more. Good example of that, Notre Dame, 34-6, pure domination. Air Force, 23-3, pure domination there. I'll see if I can get the stats for you. But, yeah, it was not pretty. Air Force had 176 rushing yards on the ground against Navy in their easy win. And not to mention Notre Dame, 150 rushing yards in their win, 280 through the air. Jack Cohn did actually play very well in that game. But, yeah, this is, as you said, Joe, this is not a good football team this year by any means. They had struggles running the football at times. They just, this feels like a game, per usual, where the Army-Navy side, one team is going to dominate it. I am probably not going to lay the points with Army, but I know I should. I know that that's the right side. And I'm just a little scared of it. But I'm going to go back to the old well, which I've been going back to for, a large amount of time. Like, this is not a new thing for me. And you know that. And this is something that I've done, for the past couple of years. But I'm going to take the Army-Navy first half under 17. I'm going to PP that, buddy. Okay. And then I'm going to come in here and say I'm going to also PP the under 34.5 for the full game. So listen, I know it's easy, it's square, it's what everyone's going to do, but I like it, and I do think that that is going to be the side to go. This got all the way up to 37.5 Came back down to 33 and now is up to 34, 34 and a half. There are some 35s out there, but I'll just kind of pass on those for right now. But yeah, Joe, I think we see a very, you know, very normal Army Navy game, a lot of running, basically a running clock. And, you know, we see the classic under. I just don't think that Navy team is good enough to put up a lot of points on this Army defense this year.
When is the total when does the total no longer have value?
I think once you hit around the, in my opinion, it's the 32 point range. I think that that's probably when I'd stop and say 34 and a half is still a good number. I think I probably wouldn't take it. I probably wouldn't take anything under 32 and a half. I think is probably the number I'd make it. I know everyone talks about that 35 number. I think 34, in my opinion, might be a little bit more key. So I probably wouldn't love anything under 34, to be honest with you.
I'd love to take maybe 7.5. I can't do it. I can't.
It's seven most books, Joe. I mean, there are some 7.5s out there, but there's a lot of sevens still going about in the market.
Listen, Army's the better team. They're the better defense. They're the more talented roster. Like, let's not kid anybody. Navy's down. That's all it is. They're down. But it's a rivalry game. What's the win going to be? Where's the game? Is it in Maryland or New Jersey? Where is it this year?
No, it's in East Rutherford, New Jersey, Joe.
Whoa. That's different.
Yep.
Wasn't it at the Washington Stadium?
Yep. This year it's MetLife.
What's the win going to be like?
Right now the proposed weather is 64 degrees. It's supposed to be pretty nice that day. To be perfectly honest,
I wonder if like Navy has like a little couple of trick plays in them.
It does look like it's going to be windy. We're seeing potentially 25 mile an hour winds, up to 40 mile an hour winds. So it does look like it's going to be some wind.
So no throwing the ball.
Probably not a lot of throwing. I mean, again, these two teams don't really throw the ball as it is, but yeah, probably not a lot of throwing.
My last round. We saw that this week. So, yeah, I'm sitting on it. But the last 21 meetings, the under is 17-4. It's also 5-1-1. Army 5-1-1. Last seven meetings against spread.
There's still 7-110s out there.
Not bad.
Nope.
All right. Well, we'll get into more of that over the weekend. The Bahamas Bowl, baby. Bowl, man. Bowl. So we get this week, and then we get Friday night. So Friday, we get a nooner, right?
Yep.
A nice nooner at the Bahamas Bowl.
Yep.
You'll get Mid-Tennessee State at Toledo. Now, this is completely eyeballing it. I can't believe Mid-Tennessee is in a bowl game. Second of all, Toledo, what a fucking bad year for them, man. They had all these high hopes to win the MAC and shit. And, you know, remember they played Notre Dame and like, oh, there's Toledo, you know. They sucked.
Big letdown.
What's that?
Big letdown this year. Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so I just – what's Toledo going to play for here? Is 10-point favorites? See – this isn't about – if this was a regular season game, like, you know, Toledo's at home or some shit, I'd like them 10. But this is a bowl game with nothing on the line. They're down in the fucking Bahamas. I like the 10 points with Mid-Tennessee. Eyeballing it, of course.
Yeah, so this opened 8. It's up to 10, so you're definitely seeing some sharp action.
And we're going to preview these next. We'll still do this next week, right? Yeah.
We're going to get more in depth.
Just an eyeball.
Yep. Just an eyeball. What I can tell you right now, definitely sharp on Toledo early on. Moved from open date. It's up to 10 right now. Total down from 54.5 to 52. Yeah, this is a game that Yeah, I mean, look, I think people right now, the early bettors on this one are looking to take the better team at a good number. And anything below 10 probably right now is a good number. I actually have seen some 10.5s kind of floating around the market in this one. Yeah, look, I got to be honest with you. I kind of like Mid-Tennessee. I just think that Toledo has been extremely disappointing this year. It's hard for me to back that team. It's very hard to talk about spots in bowl games, not really a spot so much. I just talk about the two teams this year. I think Mid-Tennessee probably played in the better conference, to be perfectly honest with you. I think they probably played a better schedule this year. To be perfectly honest with you, I think they had some really good wins. Toledo's, maybe one defining win this year in the MAC was Western Michigan or Ball State. I mean, really, they didn't beat anyone. They played Notre Dame extremely tough early in the season, but that was pretty much it. They fell apart versus Colorado State the next week. They sucked this year. Lost to Northern Illinois, lost to Central Michigan, just never really found a way to pull out wins. Lost by 2 to Northern Illinois, 3 to Central Michigan, 3 to Eastern Michigan. I get it. People think they're probably better than a 7-5 team, and I get that. But to me, they just never really put it together. And, you're going to have to see who's going to be here for the bowl game, Joe, because we just don't really know yet.
Northern Illinois, Coastal Carolina, nice matchup. MAC champions who beat Kent State, which I was on. And Dan was on Northern Illinois, so congrats. And then versus Coastal Carolina. Again, do we assume Grayson McCall's playing? Like, I assume, right? Again, this is what you're going to have to do for the next week or so. You're going to have to go to the teams, in BC, we have those, what is it, BC Interrupted or whatever, you know what I mean? You got to go to, like, these fan pages to, like, find out what's going on at practice, this is that week where you have to do that research, man. And now they're giving us the time, right? Northern Illinois is coming off a nice win where Coastal hasn't played in a while. But this is a chance for Coastal to get their 11th win. Now, Northern Illinois already won the MAC. So, I mean, this is a chance for the quarterback, both quarterbacks, to be on display, Dan.
Yeah, and I do think another thing to consider is that, Coastal lost their bowl game last year. And they lost it, to Liberty. It was not a pretty game. Coastal has never won a bowl game. So I do think this game is going to be relatively more important to them for that reason. This opened at 10. We're seeing the market bring it up to 10.5, which is, there are still some 10s available. I think obviously Coastal is going to be the Republican square side here. But look, just if you're looking for, a side in regards to, kind of how to take it, I do think this number is going to go up for Coastal, not down. I think we're probably going to see 12.5 by the time we see kickoff and, 8 days or so. So, yeah, I think we'll probably end up seeing a little bit more money come in on Coastal. I think this number will go up. But, yeah, look, I do think this is a really good bowl. Rocky Lombardi, I would be stunned if he didn't play unless he transfers, Joe, which, again, always is a possibility. Versus Grayson McCall, I do think that's going to be a really good game to watch. I think that number goes up. In terms of the total, I think you're looking at the total going down. I think we're seeing some 63.5s right now. I think we're going to see that lower. It opened 64. I think we'll see this one close 60-ish, or maybe around that number. So if you're looking to get on an under on that one, get it on now. So,
Western Kentucky and Appalachian State play in the Boca Raton Bowl. So App State loses to ULL, which I thought they should. They were favored and lost. So Western Kentucky, I mean, shit, they kept it interesting. They only lost by 8. That kid, that quarterback's pretty good. What's his name?
Bailey Zappa.
He could potentially play at the next level. I don't know if it's like, is he going to be one of those guys we see on, like, one of those Saturday fucking, league games? What are they, the Alliance? Whatever the hell it used to be. I watched a bunch of shit. I don't know. I wonder about him. He's interesting. He's up-tempo and can really run the offense. Imagine him on Georgia.
He's small, man. He's small.
I know, but imagine him on Georgia over Stetson, whatever the fuck his name is.
Stetson Bennett. Yeah, I get it, but I just think he's small. Like I don't know if he's going to be able to play at the next level. To be honest,
it's funny today. I looked at it. The weirdest thing, man. Today, I when we walked in Sutter and Rich, somebody asked who's the number one pick going to be in the draft, and I go Thibodeau from Oregon.
Yep.
And they're like, well, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, holy fuck! Like the Jets are going to get like 3 picks. Houston's going to get like 3 first round picks early. Like all I'm saying is that like who's the first quarterback off the board? It might be Malik Willis.
I don't think so.
Well, I know. Another topic. Another topic. Another day. I just said something wild. First quarterback off the board? No.
I mean, I guess it's possible. I still think that people will probably end up taking Kenny Pickett and Matt Corral over him. Like, I think Willis definitely is maybe the guy with the bigger upside for sure.
Yeah, I just feel like Houston, like, would that be who they take?
I don't think so. I think they probably go a little bit safer route.
Yeah. Anyway, App State's lost last day. They have a bunch of seniors.
Yep.
Spread's 2.5.
No, it's 3 now.
But the defense is not. Can Appalachian State keep up with Western Kentucky? I don't think so.
So, yeah, it's interesting. The total opened 66.5, which I thought was a little bit low. I made this number around 68, 69. And now we're seeing it up to 67, 68. So I think there's probably a little bit more to go. But, yeah, dude, I'm surprised. I told you last week that I thought Western Kentucky, the wrong team, was favored in that game. I thought UTSA was better than them. UTSA, I know the score didn't reflect it, but the UTSA owned that game. Now, they let Western Kentucky come back in late. But, look, I think App State is a good team. But offensively, if Chase Bryce is going to play for them, which I assume, and Bailey Zapp is going to play for Western Kentucky, then I'm just going to say this right now. I think App State is going to have a hard time keeping up with Western Kentucky offensively. And it's not necessarily that they're a worse team, but their style play is not suited like Western Kentucky. Yep. Yeah, I think it's a bad matchup. So,
like ULL ran all over them. App State was, you know, they just.
Yep. Yeah, they had trouble stopping Levi Lewis, and they had trouble, you know, stopping that Lafayette team. And, you know, I get it, and we'll see kind of some more information that comes out. But I was surprised that the spread moved the way that it did. I look at this, and I think the market's wrong in this one. I think the total kind of tells you where this game is going to go as well. I think we're looking at an over. I think Western Kentucky is going to put up, you know, 45-ish in the game. And I just don't know if App State has the offensive capabilities to, you know, kind of stay with them in that. So it's early. I'm not, you know, I'm not making a play on it right now, but Western Kentucky to me is the side that I'm looking at. And, you know, if I can, right now there's some threes. If this gets the 3.5, I'm definitely going to take some. Like I absolutely will take the 3.5. Just like the same thing that happened to UTSA, went from 2.5 to 4. And I couldn't ignore UTSA at that number.
So UTEP plays Fresno. UTEP sucked. What did they go, 7-5 in the Conference USA? And I know Fresno kind of petered out towards the end of the year, but they still won 9 games. 13.5 right now is the spread on this one.
It's actually down to 10.5, Joe.
Jesus. So who's the quarterback? Is Haener going to play? Like, is he going to be one of those guys?
So Haener entered the transfer portal and has now actually pulled out, which I do believe is part of the reason that the number dropped so low, at least in my opinion. That's part of the reason the number dropped so low. I think you can still get Fresno State in the market, 10.5 minus 110 right now. I think that number is just going to go up because if Haener is going to stay and Haener is going to play, oh boy! Well, if that's the case, then that's a problem because it does look like that. It looks like that Jeff Tedford is coming back. He was named the coach, and that's a huge get because he was the guy who actually recruited Jake Haener. So if Tedford's going to come back and Hayner is going to be the quarterback, I think you have to like Fresno State in the matchup. I mean, I do. Listen, I like UTEP, and they had a really fun season. But again, another team, in my opinion, that really faded down the stretch there. They went 1-4 in their last five games. Their only win was Rice. And if you look early, they just didn't play anyone early on. I'm surprised the spread is where it is. I think this number is going to get to – I think this number is going to balloon once people realize that Jake Hayner is back and Jeff Tedford is the coach. I just don't think the market's caught up to the news yet, which is surprising to me. No. I also think the under is the side here now.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, I think you get an under 50 right now still. I kind of like that side. UTEP to me just really is not that good. And again, this number opened 14.5. I think it moved because of the Hayner news, and he's back. Yeah, people should be – I think you're going to see some sharper money come back in on the Fresno side.
BYU UAB, what stands out to me is how good UAB was against the spread this year, 8-3-1. BYU just went 5-7 against the spread, but they went 10-2 overall on the year. So here you go. BYU's ranked 13-2. They're giving 8 points. There's coaching drama there. Do you think he should leave BYU, Satake, whatever his name is there?
No, I think it's a really good job for him, man. I think that, you know, BYU
went to Utah. I think he went to Utah. And I think he's like from there, you know what I mean? Like played. So why would he leave unless, I don't know, USC came calling, but that's out of the
picture. Yeah. I mean, look, I think it would have to be a really, really, really big job. I know he's talked to Oregon about the job there. Apparently they've also reached out to Chip Kelly, who I think should be their number one target. Like, bring back the Chip Kelly offense, bring back the, people would love that, dude. People, recruits would love that. People would love that. So in my opinion, I would go there. Look, I like Satake. He's been nothing but great for BYU. I have nothing but good things to say about him there. But, like, you know, once this BYU program becomes a Power 5 conference team, people are going to feel very differently about BYU. They're going to start giving some respect, and that's going to happen soon enough. So I think that Satake should stay. I don't know. I think they should stay. So that's my personal opinion. They have 7 wins over Power 5 teams, prior to this year. And they also beat Utah, Arizona State, Washington State, you know, Virginia. Like they cleaned up, and USC, they cleaned up against Power 5 programs, went 4-1 against them this year, Joe. Sorry, 5 Arizona as well. Wow. 5-1 against Power 5 programs this year.
Liberty and Eastern Michigan. Wow, Liberty only won 7 games this year.
Oh, and by the way, going back to that, the UAB number opened at 8.5 and is down the 7.5
places. I see 7, yeah, right now.
Yeah, UAB has been very, very sharp. A bunch of sharps jumped on the UAB train early on. So hopefully you got a number better than 7 if you wanted to take UAB.
So Liberty, Eastern Mich, I just kind of feel like Liberty should win that game. I know. The other thing, too, is what's the spread? 59 is the total. Ooh, 35-25, 35-24, 38-25. Ooh, over.
Well, I think we're going to have to find out what exactly is the draft plan for Malik Willis. Is he going to play in this game? Because if he is not, that Liberty spread is going to plummet. And I really mean plummet. Now, it opens 7.5, and it's up to 9. So it does feel like there are some people who feel that Willis is going to play in the bowl game. I don't know. I have not heard any news about that. But if he does not play, that spread will crumble. I think that he should, because it is a good way to kind of show off. But, again, the opponent is Eastern Michigan. So that's kind of the one takeaway I would have is – It's a mid-level MAC team, you know. And I know Liberty struggled down the stretch, but I think they deserved an opponent a little bit better than that.
Utah State, Oregon State. One thing I can tell you is this: Utah State's running back was the running back at Oregon State just a couple of years ago, I believe. Ran for 6 touchdowns or whatever. But the weird thing for Utah State for me is who they lost to this year. Like, their defense, I watched that game last week. Their defense actually looked really good.
Yep.
They lost to Wyoming. They lost to Boise State. And, you know, obviously they get the win. Last year, though, their defense was great. But Oregon State's still a 7-point favorite here.
Yeah, I was surprised at that number when I saw it. I was expecting there to be, you know, some sort of news come out on, you know, maybe Logan Bonner's leaving or kind of what's going on here. I haven't seen much come out right now. You know, it's been pretty much, you know, there has not been any major, you know, people leaving. I'm kind of surprised at the spread, honestly. Utah State feels like they just get continuously disrespected. Now, I did not love them last week against San Diego State. I thought San Diego State would beat them. I thought they struggle versus teams who run the football very well. You know, that's not exactly Oregon State, although B.J. Baylor has been fantastic for that team this year. But still, I really thought that Utah State would struggle in that game. No, they dominated that game. That game was not even remotely close. So, yeah, I'm surprised seeing the line where it is. 7.5, like, you'd open Utah State 7.5. And the total is high, 64.5 right now. So, look, a lot of points. And, you know, to me, I like Utah State in those situations. But apparently the market disagrees with me.
ULL versus Marshall. And I am circling one game. Loving ULL here. But here's one thing. Here's the angle. Last 4 bowl games for ULL, all losers, and all have been against the spread. What's up with that? Obviously, the coach ain't going to be there, right?
Yeah, so Billy Napier is taking himself and then 4 key staff and hires, including their co-defensive coordinator.
I still feel like ULL will run on that ass. They've given up 21 points in like 5 games. Total. Yep. I really like ULL there. I gotta circle that one. I have to see what the number is going to be and how are the kids, if they're okay or not.
Yeah, so far they are bringing the associate head coach and running backs coach Jabbar Julicki, the co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach Patrick Toney, the cornerbacks coach and assistant head coach of the defense Corey Raymond, and the associate head coach and director of football strength and condition, Mark Hockey. So, I mean, they are taking some significant portions off that Lafayette staff, and they are going to Florida with Billy Napier, who will not coach in this game. Yeah, I told you, I thought all you need to do is basically roll out the same game plan against App State, and you can beat them, and that's exactly what they did. So, yeah. I think this is going to be a little bit different here.
Dan, the following games are the following week, so I think we should kind of hit on those in next week's podcast. And cool. You know, one I just wanted to bring up was how about, and then this is the following week after, fucking BC, man, they get my boy Allers, man. I get to enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, you do. Are you gonna fly? Are you gonna go down to Maryland to watch that game? I feel like that's a perfect place for you to go because it's in Annapolis, Joe. Like it's
true. Stadium. I could get my Army Navy feel, but it's BC and East Carolina. Dracovic and Allers. Nice little. That's there. I am interested to see what Auburn will do to Houston. You know, I'm just kind of curious. Will Auburn care?
I do want to bring up a few tidbits of information before we kind of start doing that. People have asked what's going on with the Western Michigan-Nevada spread. In case you didn't know, Nevada opened as a minus, I think they were minus 9. And the opening number, they are now currently plus 3. So what happened was Carson Strong declared for the NFL draft. That moved the number big time. Obviously, Nevada's head coach moved on from Nevada. And it sounds like they are now losing 7 starters to transfer. And it looks like even more, are going to leave now. So you've seen that number go from -9, the -7, the -6 to -4 to -2 to -1. And now they are now +3 now, Joe. So they are now a dog in Western Michigan. Hopefully you got that number early and often, because that is a big swing in that one. Major, major swing. Some other major swings. Maryland as a 2.5-point dog, now a 1-point favorite in their bowl game against Virginia Tech. There hasn't been a lot of major transfer news in that one. Some major transfer news. Michigan State opened as a 4-point dog against Pittsburgh. With the Kenny Pickett news, that number has actually moved the market to Michigan State -1. Pickett has not declared, but it sure sounds like, and from people around him, that they are not going to play, or that he's not going to play in the bowl game. Joe, let me ask you, do you want to discuss Georgia, Michigan, and Alabama, Cincinnati? Should we save that for next week? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I do want to mention that Purdue's quarterback's transferring to, they became 4-point dogs. They opened 2.5.
Yes, that's another good one. Yeah, he's Purdue moves from 2.5 to 4.5.
He's going in the transfer portal, so the old transfer portal. I just looking from afar, like, I think Alabama has become the best team, and they've asserted themselves as the best team. And, you know, Cincinnati is a good team. I think Alabama can give up points. Like, I think Cincinnati's going to be in it early in the game. So I think they're going to be in it. I just think it's that SEC bump. You know, I think Alabama's has a clear vision to the championship game. I want to give Michigan a shot. I just want to do it. I want to give them a shot. I just wonder if these Big Ten kids will turtle against that fucking just some real – dude, Dan, we see it all the time, man. Guys play in different divisions, dude, and they just can't hang. Can Michigan hang, you know?
My early thoughts are no. My early thoughts are no, that I think this is going to be – I think this is going to get ugly. You saw the spread open at 6, 6.5. We're up to 8. I think it's going to keep going. I think we see this by 10, 10.5 by kick on New Year's. We talked about it last week when we talked about the Alabama game. I told you that I thought Alabama had the talent to stay with Georgia. I ended up on Alabama +7.5. I told you I lean that way. I wasn't going to play it, but I lean that way. I also love Cincinnati. Thank God they didn't let the back door. That would have been bad. That was one of my biggest plays of the year. That would have been bad. But look, I think people are disrespecting Cincinnati a little bit here when it comes to Alabama. So let me start there first. Bama's really good, but I think that they're nothing. One thing that Coach Saban does is that when he knows he has a hard game, he definitely looks at it. I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that that Alabama is going to be looking ahead to either Georgia or Michigan. They'll probably look ahead for Michigan, knowing that they already have so much data on Georgia. They're going to have to change their offensive strategy without Mechie. He's a big part of what they do offensively. He's not going to be available. I think Alabama wins the game, but if you're asking me, does Alabama, blow out Cincinnati? I don't think so. I think Cincinnati's really good. We saw what they did against Georgia in the bowl game last year. I think they got better this year. Again, I'm not calling for an upset here. I think Bama is going to win by, a touchdown-ish. But the fact that this number hasn't gone above 14, and when it hits 14, you're seeing a lot of the sharps take that number. It's back down to 13 in a lot of places. Look, this is to me Cincinnati or nothing. I just think that people, are just not valuing Cincinnati like they should be. Yeah, they're a group of 5 team, and Alabama is amazing. But Alabama's going to look at it. They're going to look past Cincinnati. They're going to think they can beat Cincinnati. They're going to look at it. With the Georgia-Michigan game, Joe, I just don't agree with you. I just cannot see Michigan ponying up and beating this team. Georgia has been dominant all year. They they dominated teams physically, shut them out. Michigan's really, really good, and I, you know, credit to Harbaugh for his team this year, Joe. But I think there's one team that can play with Georgia in the country. I think that's Alabama. I think that's because they have the talent to play with Georgia. I don't think Michigan has the talent, and I think they're going to get fucking bullied by Georgia.
Yeah, Alabama, Georgia, the best team. While there's a team on. You pick on down hangover. Like Georgia basically lost to Alabama. And like, they should play again. You know what I mean? You would think that they're motivated again. It's just something like that. It's 7.5.
Yeah, I'm okay. So I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I'm hopeful that you.
All right, if Michigan goes to 10, I might grab it.
Okay. Yeah, I just okay. I was having a little trouble hearing you, so I didn't hear most of that rant. Unfortunately, I apologize. I will listen back later. I gotta tell you, I don't see it, dude. I don't see it. I think that you know, this Michigan team is really good, but again, talent wise, straight up talent, Joe. They're a Big Ten team, yep. And I just don't think they're quite as good as these elite SEC schools. And I just remember what Georgia did to some of these teams. Everyone's going to be down on Georgia. I think they're going to be a very good bet. I can tell you right now, I will 1,000,000% be on Georgia. I already have a bunch of -6.5, -7. They will absolutely be a bet of mine, you know, going into the New Year's. And I'll probably be on Cincinnati too. I have not taken anything, you know, on Cincinnati yet, but I'm probably going to end up adding to them. I'm hopeful that number gets above 14 as well, because I think that'll be good. So, all right, Joe, that's what I got on the Bulls. Do you want to talk about anything else going on? Do you want to talk about anything going on in the NFL or anything else at all?
I mean, I'm good. I know we're going to roll out some basketballs definitely on the show this week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, I don't know, like maybe we'll post some plans for tomorrow night, but we did a podcast a half hour earlier, and we just kind of went through the whole look ahead. We got a whole another week next week of games. So unless you got something, man, I'm good, bro.
I mean, quickly, I think there's actually not a lot of good games tomorrow, to be perfectly honest. I think there's only like, you know, like 10 games or so that are actually any good. But okay, here's one I want to talk to you about, and I think you'll be interested in this. Memphis was rated as a top 10 team going into the season, Joe, and under Penny Hardaway, they're basically playing an AAU offense. It's fucking awful. They look like a trash ass team. You could be a better coach than what they've run there. They're now -10 against Murray State, who's 7-1. Your boys, Murray State, back when you used to love them with Ja Morant there. So Murray State hasn't played anyone this year, to be perfectly honest, and they just haven't played anyone. Do you think they keep it within 10 against Memphis? Just knowing from what you know, I know you know you're kind of coming into this a little bit blind, because I think that you might be able to get some good value there with Murray State. Again, I think the number probably ends up going down. And then I do think tomorrow night there are two other games that are interesting. Loyola Vanderbilt, Loyola on the road in Nashville against Vandy. They did win their first away game. They're 4.5-point favorites on the road against Vandy. And then DePaul, Joe, DePaul has turned it around. They are looking to me like a pretty decent Power 5 team. First true away game for them, though, on the road at Louisville, who has been very good this year, Joe. Outside that Michigan State loss and that Furman loss, man, they have been very good so far this year. Good wins against Maryland, Mississippi State, NC State. Navy was a very dominant win. I've been very impressed with what I've seen from these Louisville Cardinals. So that one is going to be – I don't have any thoughts on that one in terms of plays, but that one's going to be really interesting. I think the Loyola game I think that number is going to go up, but I'm kind of pretty interested in taking Vanderbilt on that side. And I also think the Memphis Murray State number is going to bounce around. I might be interested in taking some Murray State there too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Memphis at home, they just play better at home.
They do. They're 4-0 at home. I will absolutely give them that. They've been much better home than on the road.
I just think it might be a game where they can like be pressured but win a game at home. Yeah. I mean, they're ripe for the taking, you know?
Yep.
Right now, if you're going to beat them, now's the time you're going to do it, you know?
I know. I get it. I understand. I do not disagree. I do not.
Yeah. That's yeah, I watched Loyola and DePaul the other night. Was that who played? I watched DePaul play the other night. I watched Loyola play the other night. I watched Texas Tech play the other night. Holy crap!
Yeah, so I think Loyola beat DePaul by 4 that game. Is that right?
Close spread there too.
Dude, DePaul is good. Like I think that was their first loss of the year. DePaul is good. Like they look like a team that's going to be, you know, they're not going to be the worst Power 5 team you've ever seen, which is, I think that's a good thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, that's all I got, bro. I'm ready to rock and roll this weekend. No Patriots game, so look, the schedule is all interesting. Tons of Saturday basketball games, so we can start getting into that. And Army-Navy Saturday.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be a fun weekend. I'm happy that I can just watch Red Zone again and don't have to stress about anything else.
Me too. I don't have to go in and rush in at halftime.
Yep,
that's the whole game. So
I agree.
All right, Dan. Well, we'll do a quick one this week.
It was.
Oh, I haven't talked to you about this yet, but there will be no live show on Christmas Day.
That seems fair.
We can do a live podcast. We can do a live hit on Christmas.
Okay.
We can just take the day, whatever you want.
No. Well,
There's basketball.
Yeah. There's basketball. There is going to be some football, I believe. Let's do a live show. So live show from, you know, parts unknown. Let's give the people some stuff, because I think that's fair. I think it's fair to, you know, if we're not going to do the show, we should at the very least give people you know, what they want.
All right, then. That's all I get this week.
All right, sounds good.
This has been another edition of the Over Under Podcast.
Who you got? Good luck, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.